So come on, you Vixens, big game ahead. What I want to know is, when are we going to get some points this season? And more importantly, what are you going to do to celebrate when we do get those points?
Well, clearly it will be the next few games that we will get points. And when we do get that eventual win, I'm going to go find a socially distanced tattoo parlor that's open and get all the stats tattooed on my shoulder.
It's a great response. I think we're going to definitely get some points. Definitely away at Birmingham, if no other time. That's a place that we can guarantee getting some points away at Birmingham. And an idea I run past you earlier, DM, going to have a big wedding with all the players and me.
Not DM?
No.
No, well, you did say, didn't you, yeah. While we were watching the game, you know, I love them all. And, you know, just have a big 11 person wedding. So
that's more than 11, because the subs, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be sad to leave them out, wouldn't it?
So let that be an incentive to you, Bristol players. An 11-person wedding with Nat. And what I'm going to do...
17-person
wedding. And what I'm going to do when we finally get some points this season is... I'm just going to do what I always do for a celebration, which is just cook a really extreme meal, a buffet. And obviously it's quite difficult to have people around and, you know, have a socially distanced buffet, so I'll just probably just make a big buffet and just eat it all myself.
So buffet, wedding, tattoos, anything else?
Let's start the episode.
Welcome to the Bristol City Vixen Cast. This is episode 6 with me, Nat,
DM,
and Shahan. For those of you that haven't listened before, this is the podcast for all things Bristol City women who play in the Barclays FA Women's Super League. If you like the podcast, feel free to rate us, leave a review and subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BCVixenCast.
Oh, it's nice to have Shahan back, isn't it? Because we wouldn't ever remember to do anything like that if he wasn't around. So thanks, Shahan.
You're welcome. And it's great to be back. Yes, I missed the last game, the last podcast for the London Bees game. I thought I was going to watch the game at home, but it turns out that game was not available on the FA player. So I'd like to correct a mistake I made on episode 4 when I said all County Cup games would be available on the FA player. Turns out they weren't.
Oh, hoist by your own petard.
We've just come in from the cold. We've been at Bristol's 4-0 defeat to Birmingham City. So apologise if there's any slurps, tea slurps and things like that during the course of the recording. Social distancing has been impeccably observed throughout. And yes, we are still at least 1 metre apart. And Shahan is still at the bottom of the table where Bristol are. Ooh. Absolutely rock bottom. 0.20 goals.
Goal difference of minus 19.
Minus 19. So ramping up the goal difference in the negative column.
Do you want to f***ing win on Sunday or not?
Bristol lost 4-0 at Twerton Park to Birmingham with goals from Rachel Corsi in the 16th minute, Molly Green in the 32nd minute. Claudia Walker scored a bit of a worldie on 50 minutes and Christy Murray scored from the penalty spot at 65 minutes. How do we assess what on earth happened this afternoon?
I mean, I was reading an interview earlier that Tanya did with Tom Gary from BBC Sports saying that the Birmingham game today was not going to define the season. Clearly, the expectation was Bristol could have achieved something from this result, because when the fixture list came out, it was the block of this and Aston Villa, where it was expected, you know, after the tough start Bristol had, surely we would have got points or got the win at least. But yeah, it's just very unfortunate that the momentum that was kind of gathering after the London Bees game fortunately just didn't carry over. And the Aston Villa game, obviously that was due to take place last week, whether that game would have still been played or not, like, and the momentum could have possibly carried on, we'll never know. But
yeah, I think something that's important to think is just same with the Arsenal game. A really, really strong start, got out and surprised the opposition fairly well. Like, Arsenal were definitely kind of surprised by our start, weren't they? And Birmingham seemed to not react very well. The keeper was under loads of pressure. They were messing about at the back. They looked really flustered. And that lasted for at least 15 minutes. And we were really, really on the front foot. And our inability to, A, score in that time to deflate them properly, and B, not let them score in order to sustain that pressure for a much, much longer period of time, that just totally let us down today. We needed to do one or the other, and then we did the opposite of both. And it was really disappointing. If we'd have scored in that 15, it would have been a totally different story. If we'd have not conceded and sustained that pressure, it would have been a totally different story. But we managed to not just not score, but to also concede. And that was a huge disappointment. And then to concede two meant that it felt like game over the moment that second goal went in. It was really, really hugely disappointing.
Mm. And looking at the team lineups, I noticed Birmingham and they named five subs on their bench. And looking at Bristol's lineup, once again, Ebony Salmon was not starting for Bristol today. Came on as a sub in the second half and clearly made such an impact, especially assisting towards chances which had cleared the goals that could have potentially scored a goal. And then later on in the second half as well, when I believe it was it Emma Bizzle who could have. What do you two think about Ebony Salmon not starting
today? I could see that there was a plan B, that there was some kind of backup plan to the first half, and there was a distinctively different way of approaching the game. And that was something I don't think we even had last season in our locker. We just had one way of playing. I would always start Ebony Salmon because she is so dangerous. She's so quick. She gets in behind the defence. She's just so much more of a loose cannon. I worry about her, I don't know, just losing confidence, I suppose, and the frustrations and of being on the bench all the time. And maybe that's something that Tanya is able to manage the expectations of in a quite a good way. But I just don't understand it. Having said that, I did think Abby Harrison did really well within the first half setup, and she was very effective. So it wasn't that she wasn't doing a good job there.
And scored against Arsenal as well.
Yes, and she scored against Arsenal. So it's certainly, I do get it. And I do understand, you know, that there's important to have a different approach. But I just think, you know, Ebony Salmon is our best striker. Like, why wouldn't you start your best striker and play her for 90 minutes?
Especially in the game against, like, Birmingham today. Like, I'm very surprised. There was no mention before as to whether Salmon was, like, you know, not match fair. If that was the case, then maybe that decision would have been justified. But yeah, I still find it baffling.
Yeah, and I think she's more than just speed as well. She's incredibly strong. She's got a really good touch. She links up with other players really well. She's able to come deep. She's able to go long for it. She does loads of things really, really well. And actually, the way she came on and played today, she did do a great job. But she was also arguably out of position. You don't want Salmon on the right wing unless you've got someone as good as Salmon in the middle. Like, actually, we don't play a crossing and, you know, scoring from crosses Ebony Salmon. Like, if half of the balls that went to her went down the middle, she'd have been on goal, but instead she was near the corner flag having to cross it. Actually, like, if she's going to win a race, you want the end result to be one shot goal, because that's all she needs. She needs one touch, doesn't she? And actually, why do you want her using that speed to go towards the corner flag when actually you want her to be using her speed to go towards
the goal?
Yeah. Because that's all she does. Like, her best goals are incredible goals, just tons of speed, amazing strength, coming often from behind players, beating them, maybe one or two touches, and in that managing to score. So I just think when she played today, she only played a half, and she arguably played that half out of position. Did it amazingly, but if we want to have one chance at scoring, it's Ebony Salmon down the middle, not Ebony Salmon on the right wing, crossing it and then it not going in, which is what happened today.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to just turn this into a Ebony Salmon moan fest, because it can so often end up like that. Not that you're not within your rights to do that, Nat. I do agree with you. I just don't understand it. But in terms of positives from this game, it's really difficult to feel positive about what just happened, because we lost so badly, and it just really felt like everything went wrong, and the kind of mental inability to cope with that situation. And we were sat there at half time, and I was just thinking, you know, if we manage to win or pull this back, we will do something that, you know, I haven't really seen a Bristol team do in the WSL for a really, really long time, which is come back and fight back, you know, come from behind and get something from a game. It's like as soon as we go behind in a game, we've lost it. And you really saw that with the players on the pitch. They were beaten when they went down, you know, 2-0. And it's a real shame. And what's a bigger shame is obviously there was a really positive intent after half time, bringing on those subs, which was a really positive move. And it was a really proactive way of mixing things up, trying to do things differently. And then, of course, Claudia Walker scored a really fantastic goal, which nobody would have saved. It just totally flattened everything again.
And just when we thought things couldn't get any worse for Bristol, during the second half, Amy Palmer was challenged by Christy Murray, and there was a long delay of over 10 minutes where Amy Palmer required medical attention. And in an environment where, again, we were there as part of the press and media, behind closed doors environment, it was just very, very disheartening, sorry, just to hear the moans and like the pain that Amy was clearly in.
It was absolutely awful, wasn't it? Like, you could hear it. The challenge sounded really, really bad to start with. So there was quite a big clatter, wasn't there? And an immediate scream, which you're kind of used to. Like, people like make noise. You hear kind of challenges a lot better, don't you, at the moment on the telly as well. But play continued. The ref did absolutely nothing about it. And she was on the floor just screaming and crying for what felt like a really, really long time before play stopped.
Bristol had an advantage. I think that's why...
Yeah. But I mean, she was just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really awful. And it's easily the worst thing I've ever seen or heard at a live football game. It was really... Really just,
yeah.
I mean, the score today means very little to me. Like, the fact that I had to witness that was just absolutely atrocious and feel absolutely terrible for Amy Palmer. And obviously, we'll wish her a really speedy recovery and hope that it's not too much damage and that it was just maybe a bit more of a collision.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully she can have a really speedy recovery, because that today was awful.
Yeah, it was just horrific seeing, like, the medical attention that she had to get. And again, I don't know whether this was caught on the cameras or not during the FA player. I assume, but we even got to see Tanya run on at one point just to make sure Amy was okay, just to give her reassurance.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think the level of distress that she was in was just, it was really quite shocking. And, you know, I was actually crying watching it, because it was really, really upsetting, like being there and watching it and listening to somebody be in that much pain. And it was quite disturbing, actually. But hope she's all right. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, all the love in the world to you, Amy Palmer. And I think even more kind of upsetting, because she's been such a good player for us this season. And, you know, that must have been just so, so disappointing. And yeah, it's a really, really big loss. And just hope it's not as bad as it sounded.
And when Amy was stretched off the pitch, Laura Rafferty made her appearance in the game. And do you think she made a great impact?
Yeah, I do, actually. So she came on. They had to change. They didn't really change the formation so much, but so they were playing kind of two midfielders in front of a back four. In the first half, that was being played by Palmer and Mastrantonio, and then Mastrantonio was subbed. So Carla Humphrey kind of sat further back with Palmer, and then when Palmer went off injured, they brought on the defender, and Jazz Matthews stepped up into that middle position. And that didn't appear to work out to me for the first 5 minutes, but actually they settled into it, and Rafferty was absolutely amazing in that position. Really, really impressed with her. I thought she was really good. And Jazz actually did settle into that new role as well. So, but yeah, Rafferty, I think she's really, really good, actually. And did she play against London Bees?
I think she came on for a little bit. I think she's obviously still recovering from her ACL injury, or just getting back to, you know, full fitness. So I guess it's that thing of not risking it too much with the full 90. But yeah, she looked impressive. And
yeah, I didn't really notice her against London Bees, but I did, like, today I thought she just looked really, really in control and really in charge, and actually she was doing some of the things that more Bristol players need to do, which is take control and take responsibility and just get in the way. And if she can do that, then good for her. I think we need a few more players like her, and hopefully she can bring, you know, inspire other people to kind of play in that way, because we need to do quite a lot quite quickly now, and we, like, people really, really need to step up. Because actually, we were saying, we've been really impressed with some of the way they play, but in this league, you can't just be good. You need to do things that are exceptional in order to score, and exceptional in order to not concede. And we need to do things, like, people need to start doing exceptional things all the time now. It's really, really difficult. And Bristol need to kind of up their game, but not, I'm not saying that in a, like, a neggy way. It's just like the standard is amazing now, and everybody needs to be incredible all the time. Otherwise, things will go really badly.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's what when we were watching it today, I was just thinking, you know, it's so hard to even score in this league at the moment. The quality is really good. And, like, to, you know, to say something positive about Birmingham, they were excellent today. They looked resilient. They looked clinical. They looked ruthless as well. They were, you know, they were happy to finish us off and go at us like that, and have a fight. You know, they're tough. They're tough girls. And it was quite an ill-tempered match, actually. I did think that. I thought, I wasn't surprised when there was a sending off, because obviously Jazz got booked quite early on in the game, and there were a few, well, obviously very bad tackles, and
Abby Grant got sent off for her challenge on Yana Daniels.
Yes, yeah, towards the end, and it was quite ill-tempered in places and a bit feisty. But I think, you know, Birmingham are, you know, they're butch. They're a butch, mean team, and we need to be more butch.
As many women's football fans will be aware, Birmingham City have had some changes over the summer following the sacking or resignation of their previous manager. Carla Ward came in from Sheffield United and did some business over the summer, and Birmingham have started to get a few wins already, and after today, they're now up to 7th in the WSL.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly going to be, you know, absolutely fine, and they're looking like a Birmingham side, like the Birmingham sides of old, which is, you know, resilient, quality, can give anybody a good game on their day. A disappointing day for the Vixens, and yeah, some worrying times ahead potentially.
I mean, on the positive note, I will say, for me, this was the first time I've ever seen any live sport in months, so it was nice to be included as part of, like, the team covering the game today. So I thank you, DMNF, for that. And my first visit to Twerton Park. And yes, I can see now why the ground is so revered and loved by the Bath football fans. And I can see, like, when fans are able to return properly, you know, hashtag let's fans in, it will be that, and other grounds will be rocking with dedicated fan bases. I saw on the report, BBC Sport reporting that this was Birmingham's first time they've won two WSL games back-to-back since 2018. And Birmingham have the best win-loss record against Bristol City in the last few games that they've met. One more interesting fact is, today, both games last season, the away team would always wear their away kit. So when Birmingham came to Bristol last year, they wore their black away kit. And when Bristol played at Solihull, Bristol wore their black away kit. This season, this game today, Birmingham just wore their home kit. Do you know why they couldn't wear their away kit?
Oh, is this a quiz?
Because it's red.
Yes.
Wow, what fun.
We should have put that out to Twitter.
I mean, speaking of the kits, it was lovely to see Sophie wear her My Little Pony shirt once again.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love
that. That's a highlight.
That's the literally the best thing that happened today, yeah, is Sophie Bagley in the pony kit.
It's like the third game in the row now. I saw we're having influence over, like, what the goalkeepers wear. Surely.
I think it's clearly a real favourite.
I think so. I think she says, I'm not playing unless I get the pony kit.
Now it's time to hear from a Birmingham City fan. We've got Kaz from Great Since 68. If you've never listened to Great Since 68, I urge you to do it now. It is the gold standard women's football fan podcast, and they've been going for ages. You've got to listen to it. So Kaz is a regular contributor. I was expecting her to be a little bit more upbeat after her team's fantastic win today, but I appreciate the humility in this message. And thanks also to Craig Hadley from Great Since 68 for all that he does to promote women's football podcasts.
Hi, it's Kaz. Just going to give you a few thoughts on today's game. I thought the first 15 minutes, I thought Bristol were really good. I thought we were going to be in for a really good game. Obviously, we scored the first goal, and I thought Bristol's heads went. Second goal went in by Molly Green, and at half time it was basically game over. I really thought when Bristol brought the subs on, it would make some, give us a bit of a harder game. Unfortunately, that never happened. Claudia Walker scoring, I think, a third goal within as many games. Then the penalty incident, which I thought was a bit soft in my opinion, brought it up to 4-0. Then there was the injury to Palmer, which I hope it's nothing serious. I hope she has a speedy recovery. But after that, I thought the last 10 minutes of the game, I thought Bristol showed some real character, especially when Abby got sent off, which I thought was needless from her. Overall, I thought Blues deserved the points, and I'm wishing Bristol the best for the coming season. I hope yous get the points to stay in the league. And Tanya's a good manager, so hopefully you can stick with her. But overall, I thought Blues just edged it today. Thank you for having me on. Bye.
Being at the game today, seeing live football once again, felt very weird in the sense that I'm so used to seeing like there being a time and the score in my vision, and also hearing commentary, so there was no commentary to listen to.
I know, it's quite disorientating. I like to have an internal Jane Ludlow monologue to help me through these uncertain times.
And speaking of all things Wales, it was announced this week that Gemma Evans has made the 26-player squad for Wales' upcoming games against the Faroe Islands and Norway in the European qualifiers.
Congratulations, Gemma.
And also Megan Wynn made her debut appearance on Match of the Day Wales last week, didn't she?
Yes, yeah, she did. Covering the game between Wales and the Republic of Ireland in the UEFA Nations League.
So do we see Megan Wynn having a career as an Alex Scott-esque? Is she going to be the Welsh Alex Scott? And more importantly, will she end up on Strictly Come Dancing, or will Jess Fishlock's fairy feet dance her way onto the Blackpool dancing boards first?
Wow.
I don't think they mentioned that, but it is nice to see Megan, you know, have a go at punditry. Like, I think she's done some things before, but it would be nice for her to potentially take that route once she hangs up her boots for good. She is still making her recovery from a ACL injury, and yeah, she's hopefully we'll see her back on the pitch real soon.
We saw her walking around today, didn't we?
Yes, it was very exciting. Megan Wynn's walking. There are lots of people walking around. Faye Bryson and Megan Sargent, and who else was just walking around?
Jess Woolley.
Well done. Great walking, girls.
And in more news, actually, this is news that we kind of broke ourselves, because on our Twitter account, we tweeted about the away shirt for the women's team being available, and I got tagged in that tweet. And yes, the club have finally released the away shirt, which wasn't available last season, and eventually did announce it themselves a couple of days later. So now the home and away shirts are available to pre-order from the club's website and from the club's shop.
Not just pre-order, Shahan, because I have bought one and it arrived pretty quickly, I have to say, and it looks very nice. It's a lovely purple kind of like design, and yeah, I wasn't sure at first, but I'm a real convert to the purple and green now. Everything is going to be purple and green in our house.
Yes, purple and lime. And
purple and lime even, sorry. Purple and lime.
And again, being a fan of both Bristol City teams, I mean, this is not quite breaking news, but I did get a purple and lime shirt as well. However, this is for the men's team, because I found out from the club shop that if you want to buy a women's shirt, the WSL personalization, like the fonts and the WSL badges, are sadly not available. And I'm a fan who spends more money getting shirts personalized with my name and a particular number on the back.
So what's on the back?
So on the back, I have Mia, my surname, and 89, the year I was born.
We are pretty sad that the pony goalie kit is not going to be available in the women's Yo Valley. You know, sponsor, so we won't be getting any of those. But
I heard it's because they were available, but Sophie Bagley bought them all.
So Bristol are being blessed now with an international break, just to lick our quite drastic wounds from the past few weeks. And then we've got Crystal Palace in the Continental Cup away. And then we've got the enticing possibility of an away trip to Man City to see
Rose,
the American stars, and all those other people who aren't very good, like Lucy Bronze and, you know,
Jill Scott.
And her bony knee.
Who else is good? Chloe Kelly.
Oh, yeah, Chloe Kelly with that funny... Let's hope she gets to do gets a penalty. She can do that funny run up thing.
Oh yeah, with the knee. Who else is not very good at Man City?
Steph Horton.
She's not very good.
Ellen
White.
She's not very good.
Longham. Although she's injured.
Alex Greenwood.
George Stanway. She's not very good.
But I'm particularly looking forward to seeing Sam.
Rose.
The American stars. So we've got them coming up, and can't wait.
Yeah, and of course, there's no more games now for the rest of the month, luckily. So the Crystal Palace game is on Thursday, the 5th of November at 7:45 PM kickoff, and the Man City game is unusually on a Saturday afternoon kickoff on November the 7th at 3 PM.
We'll look forward to that. So what do we think is gonna happen against Man City? Any guesses? Do you think that is when we're gonna be tolling the wedding bells for the 15 player wedding?
I think it's, you know, get the gas rings burning. It's time for a buffet.
I mean, I'm just concerned that one of the fixtures hasn't been changed because the two games are 48 hours within each other, which I find a bit bizarre.
That does seem like a bit of a fast turnaround, particularly if they're both playing away. So tricky. But that's what's coming up. So we've got Man City, and then we've got Tottenham at home at Twerton Park. So Tottenham must be one of those games that we would be targeting, even though they've obviously got Alex Morgan, blah, 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 blah.
Who? Never heard of her.
No, I don't know who she is.
Nah.
And... I mean, they haven't been doing very well either, so...
Yeah, I mean, looking at the WSL fixtures results today, Man City had to come back from 1-0 down to draw with Reading, and Tottenham lost 6-1 to Arsenal today in the North London derby. Vivian Miedema setting the record for 50 WSL goals scored, 12 of which were apparently against Bristol.
Ooh.
And of course...
Happy for you. Happy for you, Viv.
And Crystal Palace, of course, lost 4-1 to Leicester today in the Championship.
Okay, good. Yes. And we need them to be battered and bruised by the time we see them. We've got to win the Conti Cup.
That's right. I mean, I think if nothing else happens this season, we're gonna progress to the next round of the Conti Cup.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, man, but in all seriousness,
it's frightening.
It is quite daunting. But when you look at the fixtures list and you just think it is just one difficult game after the next, and at the moment the only teams who I'm feeling remotely positive or excited or optimistic about playing is the Villa, who we could have played last weekend had the unfortunate COVID breakout not happened within their squad, and West Ham seemed to be doing a quite spectacular nosedive, although they did lose 4-2 against
Man United
and certainly don't seem to have any problems scoring in games. But yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult time to be a Bristol fan, so thank goodness you've got the Bristol City Vixen cast to be a bit silly about it. Do you want to roll with the credits?
Yeah, so you've been listening to the Bristol City Vixen cast. Music was by Annie Gardner, editing was by DM Weathers, artwork was by Shahan Mir, and ambassador to the UN was Nat Brown. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back in November. Enjoy Halloween, everyone. And keep supporting women's football.
Bye.